You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Got a lot to get to on today's show. Arkansas, Texas tonight at Bud Walton Arena. The Razorbacks going to be without Adu Thiro, out with a back injury. We'll talk with Anthony Christensen about that on today's show. Aaron Fitt from D1Baseball.com will join us to talk about what he saw from the Razorbacks down at Globe Life Field over the weekend. Looking forward to talking to him. And we'll end the show with Christina Long here in studio. And we'll talk about Razorback baseball and its win over Grambling State 14-3 last night at Baum Walker Stadium. But first, basketball. Arkansas, Texas, an 8 o'clock tip-off tonight over at Bud Walton, and it's going to be on ESPN2. And the SEC availability report came out last night. We were very interested to see what was going to be said about Adu Thiro. I thought that it might say he was questionable or doubtful. It says he's out. He's not playing tonight against Texas. So Arkansas are going to have a seven-man rotation against the Longhorns tonight. And Anthony, you know, as I hear that, I think that you can play with a seven-man rotation and be successful. But when you think about who's at the back end of that seven, you've got Jonas Adu and you've got Trevin Brazil, a couple of players who you never know what you're going to get out of them. And more often than not in SEC play this year, it's been not very much that you've gotten out of those two. Arkansas needs to have everybody firing on all cylinders tonight, it feels like, to have a chance to beat a Texas team that you know is going to be motivated because they just lost to South Carolina, maybe the upset of the year in the SEC. And, oh, by the way, 3 weeks ago, Arkansas went into their place and won. You know Texas is going to be motivated to come in here tonight and play very well. And I just wonder if Arkansas's got the horses to be able to win this game.
Yeah, you know, it's a Texas team that's probably going to be desperate, too. I mean, I think they've lost four of their last five and, you know, haven't really looked good. I mean, I don't think anybody who loses to South Carolina at this point of the season is looking good. No disrespect to South Carolina, but they did also lose by 30 last night. So that was that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of try to navigate not having Adu Thiro. I was also a little surprised that he was listed as out. I figured he was going to be listed as questionable just because that's just kind of how it's always kind of been for, or I mean, not always, but a lot of the time that's kind of what it's going to be if you're not, or if kind of going into the game, there's a question about it. But that's kind of, it'll be interesting to see, you know, do you move maybe Carter Knox into that four spot and start Billy Richmond at the three, or do you play your two big lineup with Jonas Adu at the five and move Zvonimir Visic over to the four? I think it's going to be pretty fascinating to see what they do. I think the two big lineup I think is probably the more, I don't know if it's more likely, but it's been an effective lineup. I know they haven't played a ton together all that much, or those two haven't played a ton together, but I mean, defensive rating is 88.3 when they're on the floor together, and obviously it's, you know, a very small sample size, but I mean, that's something that you can look at, and it's a Texas team that, you know, can fill it up, can score. I mean, Trey Johnson is one of the best freshmen in the country. Tremont Mark, obviously, we know what he can do, having played at Arkansas last season. So there's a lot to kind of look ahead to with this game, just because it is going to be, you know, an interesting one to see just how they navigate that.
It feels like this is going to be one of those games where you've got to have Avisic go off for 20, 25, 30 points, maybe even Nelly Davis too, because Thiro, we have seen Arkansas play without him this year. There have been some games where he's had some foul trouble. He didn't play against UCA because he was sick. We know that he was sick against Michigan. I think he was sick against Texas, or we were told he was under the weather for that game. So we have seen them on the floor without him for several, you know, minutes at a time. But outside of UCA, even whenever he hasn't felt well, he has still played. Mm-hmm. Even the other day, Missouri, he takes himself out toward the end of the game, but he played and he gave them a nice contribution. They've got to figure out a way, unless they hold Texas to like 50 points, which I don't think is going to happen, they got to figure out a way to find some offensive contribution to make up for what they're going to lose with him not being on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if that's going to come from, like you mentioned, you know, like John L. Davis, maybe he plays at the same level he did the last time they played Texas because he was actually really good in that game. You could also, you know, like you mentioned, Zvonimir Visic, I think he finished with 9 points in that game. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. I could pull it up right here. I always forget that I've got my the whole world right in front of me on my laptop. Yeah, 9 points, but he also had 12 rebounds and 2 assists, so and 4 blocks. So I think you're going to need those two guys to step up, and I really think Carter Knox has really stepped into a larger role, especially in recent weeks. I think he's really started to play consistently on the offensive end. He's found his spots, which is really that corner three, and you know when he's driving to the basket, he's, I don't want to say as good as anybody, but he's really good at driving to the basket, and I think he's only gotten better in recent games. So I think you could realistically turn to him if you want to see somebody play in not necessarily a similar role, but there are some similarities there, like similar skill sets between him and Adu Thiro. So I think you could see maybe you want the ball in Carter Knox's hands, I think, which I think you've seen that a little bit, you know, to begin with anyway, just in recent games, just because I think he's played really well for the most part. But I think those are some things you got to see. And obviously you need to find a way to kind of limit Texas's, you know, ability to score. Because, I mean, it is a Texas team that can score.
And it's a Texas team that likes to slash. Mm-hmm. Trey Johnson leads the SEC in free throws. Tremont Mark, we know he can get to the free throw line. Jordan Pope is up there in the SEC in terms of free throw attempts. If I'm Texas and I'm Rodney Terry, I'm telling my guards, put it on the ground and go straight at them. Because if you even get one guy in foul trouble, then all of a sudden it becomes a huge deal for Arkansas tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Texas ended up getting 27 free throw attempts the last time these teams played. Most of those came in the second half when they were kind of mounting that comeback effort. So that's something I think you could see. I think that's also a big emphasis area for Arkansas as well, because Arkansas had 35 free throw attempts in that game. Hmm. Hopefully, dear Lord, please, hopefully there is not that many free throw attempts in an 8 p.m. game.
It's an 8 o'clock game. But, there will be.
it's written the
later
in
the tip-off. Well, it's science. The later the tip-off, the more fouls that are called. Yeah. So wait until next week when they play Vanderbilt.
Oh, that
at 9
p.m. tip. There's going to be like 75 combined free throws, double overtime. It's going to be awesome.
You'll be walking out of Memorial Gym as Broadway's shutting down in Nashville. It'll be that bad.
It's going to be great. But yeah, I mean, looking at these two teams, I think that's going to be an area of emphasis for both of them, is kind of cutting and slashing to the rim, trying to get to the free throw line, finishing through contact, try to get some and ones as well. I think that's going to be a big area for both sides. So, I mean, Arkansas, for the most part this season, has done a pretty good job of defending without fouling, but there have been some instances in which, you know, Adu Thiro has gotten into some foul trouble, or mm-hmm. Billy Richmond's gotten into some foul trouble more than most guys on the team, or I think maybe Carter Knox has fouled out once as well. So, I mean, it's not like it's impossible for them to get into foul trouble, but that for the most part they have done a pretty good job of not getting into foul trouble. I think that's obviously going to be a big emphasis tonight, just because they've got 7 guys who are in the rotation who are available, so that'll be big. But I think both teams are going to try to get to the line.
I was struck the other day listening to Calipari's radio show, and we played the clip on the podcast a day or two ago, but when he said that the crowd against Missouri, it wasn't so much how it affected Missouri as much as how it affected and inspired the players on his team. Mm-hmm. And it feels, and I mean, the feeling here in Fayetteville is that there's going to be a big crowd here tonight for this game, especially after beating Missouri. I think everybody knows that, you know, what's at stake here in terms of if Arkansas can win this game, how big of a win it could be for them to get to the NCAA tournament. So that crowd tonight, it feels like that's going to be as important as maybe any other point in the season with the type of players that Arkansas is going to have on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I felt like the last couple of games of Bud Walton, the crowd's been really good. It's been a lot of fun to cover games like that, or cover games in an environment like that, I should say. Like the crowd against Alabama, I know that game ended up as a loss, but I thought that was, I mean, that was the best crowd at Bud Walton all season, the Alabama crowd. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm always looking forward to covering games. I think it's going to be fun. It should be a great crowd. And I mean, that Missouri win is already starting to age well. Missouri just cracked the top 10 in KenPom this morning, or last night, I guess I should say. So it's already starting to age really well, having that win on the resume. So that's something that obviously is big, and then this game obviously is big tonight, just because of, you know, both of these teams' standings, just kind of in the bubble talks and conversation. And that's big, especially when you have Georgia beating Florida last night. So I'm excited to see how the crowd turns out. I'm expecting it to be a good one.
So Rodney Terry was asked, the Texas coach asked earlier this week, about playing at Bud Walton Arena. He's been here before. You think about, he was an assistant coach on Rick Barnes' staff whenever Barnes brought a couple of teams here to Fayetteville. He was a head coach at Fresno State, brought a Fresno State team here to Fayetteville. So he knows Bud Walton Arena, and he was asked about playing in this building and what he expected tonight.
Well, you know, Josh, it's one of the great venues in college basketball. Arkansas has got a great fan base. They come out, they get behind their team. They make it really challenging in terms of the students are great with the energy that they bring to their building as well. We've been over there when that building's rocking. I can't recall a time that we've gone over there and they hadn't sold the building out when we were playing. So you know, it's a great rival to have back in college athletics, where we get a chance to go over and compete against a team that's playing really well in our conference right now. They're playing about as well as any team in the league right now, and we know it's going to be a really good hostile environment. But it's why you came to Texas, to play in these kind of environments and to play on this stage.
Rodney Terry, maybe the only person in the world with more of a strained voice than I've got right now, rocking the progressives there in that video clip from Longhorn Network.
You can tell he's coaching.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. I think he's got that voice throughout the season, though. It's like he's coached so much that it's not coming back.
He's fun, though. Yeah,
you know, I mean, but going back to the crowd tonight, I mean, it feels like it's so important for Arkansas to have a big crowd there. And you talked about Alabama. It was a great crowd, but that was on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And they had a great crowd against Florida, but that was on the weekend. The midweek crowds have kind of been, and I understand it, it's an 8:00. I mean, people got work tomorrow, but I'm very interested to see what the turnout's going to be like tonight for this game. I have a feeling that the Texas name is going to bring a lot of people out because – you know, it's been a long time since Texas has been in this building.
Yeah. And I think it was Steve Sarkisian who said, I think Arkansas hates Texas more than Arkansas loves itself.
That's
or something
right.
Like that. Yep. So that, I mean, it's a fun matchup. I mean, I know I haven't gotten to live it too much. I obviously was at the football game and we covered the soccer game remotely since that was the SEC tournament and they played on the road as well. And I was at the game in Austin. So all the games have been fun between the two schools that I've gotten to see so far. So I'm expecting it to be more of the same tonight. So it'll be a good time. I would think it'll be a good midweek crowd though, just because, I mean, A, of who it is, and B, or I mean, A, because of what's at stake, obviously, with the tournament and everything. B, because of who it is.
This is Arkansas's only chance for a sweep this year. They split mm-hmm. with LSU. They split with Missouri. You think they can get it done?
I think they can. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that game in Texas, it did become, you know, a closer game than I think the score, or I thought it was a closer score line than I thought the game actually reflected. I thought Arkansas won that game pretty comfortably, even though they only ended up winning the game by, I think it was 8 points, right? Yeah, 8 points. So I think that is, it's possible, absolutely. I think they can. I think it just kind of comes down to them needing to, you know, keep Texas off the free throw line. Don't get into foul trouble by any means, just because of how short the rotation is going to be without a Duthiero. And I think you're going to need at least one of John L. Davis, Carter Knox, or Zvonimir Visic to have a big offensive game.
Arkansas opened as a 3.5-point favorite in this game. Have we seen if the line has moved at all with Thero being out?
Let's see.
Well, while you're looking at that, I'll go ahead and say Tom Hart is going to be on the call tonight, along with Ron Slay. Again, this is going to be on ESPN2 tonight, Arkansas and Texas at 8 o'clock. Line, has it moved?
FanDuel's not loading for me. So Safari can't open the page, which is odd.
Well, we'll just go ahead and keep pretending that Arkansas is a 3.5-point favorite. Maybe it doesn't move. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I know what Thero means to Arkansas's team, but I don't know that it means a whole lot to the money people.
Yeah, I don't know either because I can't see it. Like, I'm gonna show. Like, I'm not. I'm not. Well, I don't think anybody's making this up. Look, the screen's black.
I don't know if they'll be able to see your screen on that camera anyway.
But for everybody listening who didn't get to see that, I turned my laptop around. You can see this. It says Safari can't open the page. Everything else is loading perfectly fine. Like, look at that.
Maybe, yeah, who knows?
FanDuel's gotten shut down.
Last thing for you. What do you think the key is tonight to Arkansas winning this?
Don't get into foul trouble. I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest thing, and I know we've touched on it a lot. I think when you're, I mean, they've already got a short rotation as it is, just by design with how the roster was built, and with Boogie Fland already being out, but with Adu Thiro also being out, I just think that's the biggest key. Like, if you get into foul trouble early and you have to, you know, kind of overextend some of those other guys on the bench. And I mean, like, forbid somebody gets, you know, somebody fouls out, you know, then you're really playing dicey. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then
I'm interested to see how Tremont Mark plays, because he played a terrible game.
Yes,
when they got together down in Austin, and you know that game meant a lot to him. So you know that tonight's going to mean a lot to him too. Not only getting another chance against Arkansas, but in this building where he used to play. You're not going to hold him scoreless again. I'd be
wouldn't
shocked.
Think so, yeah.
You're not going to hold him to one field goal attempt again either.
Yeah.
How are they able to contain him? Because he's got the potential. We've seen it not only here at Arkansas, but we've seen it with Texas this year
and
at times
Houston
too.
Before that, yeah.
He's got the potential to really take over a game. And can Arkansas shut him down? I think that his motivation and his potential has got a lot to do with how this game could potentially go tonight. You can read all of our coverage from this game at wholehogsports.com tonight. Hope that we see you there at our website. Want to tell you, you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple and Spotify. Just search Whole Hog Sports. Put a video version on YouTube every day, and we post the video to our Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can find us on any of those platforms by searching Whole Hog Sports. When we come back, Aaron Fitt from D1Baseball.com will join us to talk Razorbacks at Globe Life Field. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. We're excited to have Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball with us now. Aaron was in Arlington over the weekend when the Razorbacks played Kansas State, TCU, and Michigan. Aaron, what was your big takeaway from Arkansas?
Yeah, Matt, good to be with you here. I think first and foremost, I mean, I think Arkansas has the best pitching staff in the country, and I thought that heading into the season, but certainly this weekend reinforced that opinion. I mean, it's the rotation, especially when Gage Wood gets healthy again, it's insane. I mean, I wrote that it's miles better than any other rotation in the country if Wood is healthy. And, you know, and there's some others that you could put in that conversation. I mean, LSU comes to mind, but my gosh, I mean, you know, Root and Gackle, those first two guys, I mean, it's just, it's four pitches that are all really good. I mean, you know, great out plus or better, most of them. And with command, you know, and you don't see a lot of legitimate four pitch guys, that have power stuff and command. It's just very rare. It's the reason that they're both preseason All-Americans and first round kind of talents. And I was watching Gage Wood on Sunday for two innings, and he struck out six guys. And I'm thinking, how the heck is this guy the Sunday guy? You know, I mean, it's insane stuff. I mean, you know, up to 98, I think, with Ride and two good breaking balls, and it's crazy. And then of course he comes out early, and they just bring in arm after arm after arm behind him. And you know, the depth of this staff is nuts, but the frontline guys as well. And so that's the number one takeaway. It's just they're absolutely loaded as advertised on the mound.
What about offensively? What did you see from this team at the plate?
I mean, you know, obviously it's not firing on all cylinders yet. they took better at bats, I think, as the weekend went along, and obviously Sunday scored more runs. And but you know, again, this is one of those things where I know there's been a lot of angst in the Arkansas fan base about the hitting. They had a down year offensively last year. I get that. You know, they were still good enough to win the SEC West and get a top eight seed. They had great pitching, and you know, their offense was frankly functional enough. I think it will be better this year. You know, I think it helps that Hiva Aloy has really taken a big step forward with his approach. I mean, he looks like a little bit of a different guy. I mean, just the at-bats that he's taking, he's really controlling the zone. He's tapping into his opposite field power, two up home runs this past weekend. He's special right now. And I think with him and Brent Iredale, you got two legitimate cornerstone pieces. You can anchor that lineup around. And I like Charles Davalon at the top. You know, numbers aren't great so far, but I mean, I like the quality of his at-bats. He's tough to strike out, and he grinds you, you know. I like Justin Thomas at the bottom, you know, that kind of dynamic athlete that has a little bit of sneaky juice too, more than I expected. And you know, they've got some athletes in there, you know, with obviously Souza, if they can get his bat going. I think Rocco Pepi is a nice complimentary piece that again hasn't really gotten it going yet, but it's a guy that I think will contribute. And you know, Kuhio Aloy, we saw him hammer the ball a couple times this weekend. You know, Helfrich and Koziel, I mean, these are digs. These are guys that have ability. I mean, it's frankly, there's enough length here. There's enough thump in the middle. There's enough athleticism, and I think they're going to be fine. I really do. I think it's going to be a perfectly solid SEC offense. It's not going to be an elite offense, but I think it's going to be, you know, middle of the pack SEC offense, which is saying something. That's pretty good. It's hard to be middle of the pack in that league. So we'll see when the dust settles. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I like the personnel.
Sometimes, Aaron, I think that people watch these teams in February and they think everything should be clicking on all cylinders, and that's just not how it works. And especially in college baseball, and you know this, you only get 3 weeks to lead up to the season. Oftentimes in those 3 weeks, you're having to bounce around between indoors and outdoors, and there's some teams that can't even get outdoors even at this point in the year. It just from your vantage point, how long does it usually take for teams to really start hitting their stride? Because to me, even I see the first week or two of conference play, a lot of growth from these teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And we see that every year. I think usually once you get into, you know, kind of mid-March, you start to see teams find their identities a little bit more. But I also think, you know, it's just it's baseball, and some teams come out of the chute hot and then go cold, and some teams come out of the chute a little colder and then get hot. And mm-hmm. There's going to be ebbs and flows in baseball season. It's not 162 games, but 56 games is plenty long, you know, and the cream rises to the top at the end. And so I do think it's really important not to over-index on the first 2 weeks of the season. You can recognize talent, you know, with limited looks. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the Arkansas pitching staff and say, oh my gosh, like the staff is insane. Just look at the stuff and the command and all that, you know. I mean, but I would question people against drawing sweeping conclusions based on offensive numbers 2 weeks into the season. I just don't think that's, it's just way premature.
I wanted to ask you about the level of competition they played in Arlington. You and I were talking on the field the other day. I told you, I said, you know, Kansas State, they don't have the same players they had as last year, but it looks like they got the same level of athlete that they had as last year. And you know this, that, you know, Pete Hughes' team, they do as good a job, I think, of anybody, as when they get on base, they put a ton of pressure on the pitcher, on the defense, to, you know, to keep them from moving. Yeah. And they went 3-0. They beat Arkansas. They beat TCU. They beat Michigan. TCU's ranked. Michigan. What are your thoughts on these three teams that Arkansas saw over the weekend?
It was good competition. It really was. And you know, obviously Kansas State was the surprise team heading into this thing. I mean, they were 1-4 on their opening road trip down in the Carolinas, and they lost like 7 out of their 9 position guys and 5 of their top 6 starters from last year's Super Regional Club. And so my expectations were pretty low for this team heading into the weekend. And they just plain opened my eyes, you know. They look like a legitimate postseason caliber club. I think they did a good job restocking. I mean, you mentioned the athleticism and the way that they forced the action with their speed. You know, putting runners in motion for hit and run or whatever. I mean, stealing bases, they can put a lot of pressure on you. And you know, they pitched better than I expected too. I mean, those three lefties in the rotation, you know, they're a legitimate club. And you know, that's a good win. I mean, Michigan was 4-0 last week in Puerto Rico. I saw them on opening night down there, beat Virginia, and they're a good club too. I know they didn't have a good weekend, but they fought hard to the end. You know, they almost came back against TCU in the ninth inning there on Sunday. So they got arms. I mean, all 3 days they threw legit guys out there, and certainly in the bullpen as well. And it's a very old team with a bunch of, you know, transfers that came in that have had success elsewhere. So I think that will wind up being a regional caliber team and a good win for Arkansas. And we know TCU, I mean, they were a preseason top 25 team. They have real arms at the front of the rotation. Mm-hmm. You guys saw, you know, Tommy Lepore. Boy, that's a big time 98 mile an hour guy with a plus changeup. I mean, he's tough, and you know, they're a little younger in the position group, but that's another good team. So yeah, it was a nice weekend to go there and go 2-1.
You live out in North Carolina. I know that you know a little bit about Charlotte, who's coming in here to Baum Walker Stadium this weekend. What kind of program is this that Arkansas is going to see?
Yeah, it's a good program under Robert Woodard. They have been a consistent kind of postseason caliber team. They had a down year last year, and they really dramatically overhauled the roster, you know, as much as almost anybody in the country. It's a really new team, but again, I think they did a good job with some of their transfer guys, and you know, they've got some guys that can drive the ball. I don't know if they put up a ton of home run numbers yet, but I like Dawson Bryce and Cody Gunderson at the corners, you know, good looking bats that have gotten off to pretty good starts for them. Overall, I think their offense has been pretty cold, but there's some potential there. It feels like one of those teams is kind of like Arkansas, you know, maybe certainly a lesser version of that insofar as they haven't really gelled yet with their bats, but there is ability there. Logan Petit was at Vanderbilt. He's now the catcher there, and he's got a couple of home runs driving a little bit. And, you know, so I think their best guy on the mound is Blake Gillespie, who transferred in from Georgia. Kind of an uneven start so far, but he's thrown enough strikes. He really didn't see the mound last year at Georgia, but I saw him in the fall, I think up to 94, maybe 5, with some ride, really good breaking ball, three-pitch guy, physical, you know, it comes out pretty easy. So, and they've got some bigger arms at the back end, too, that they like. So, you know, I think one guy to keep an eye on is Connor Mariniak. I don't think he's done much this year. He's a two-way player. You know, big arm out of the bullpen. They kind of envisioned him as a closer. I think right now they're closing Joseph Taylor, but Mariniak's got kind of he's got a hammer. He can really spin it, and he's an athlete at shortstop as well. So, interesting player.
So there's all this talk right now with March Madness around the corner about how many SEC teams are going to get into the postseason field. Look at your top 25 right now. One is A&M, two is LSU, three is Tennessee, four is Arkansas. You got Georgia at 6, Florida at 8. You got 11 teams in the top 25 from the SEC. And I would suppose there's probably two or three that you guys discussed and you are knocking on the door. How good is this league this year?
Yeah, good as ever. Really is. Feels like it's like this every year. But I mean, Alabama's 8-0 and actually, I don't know what they did yesterday, but they were 8-0 after this weekend, and had a couple good wins down in Jacksonville. It's another team that is right there on the fringe of the top 25. So you're looking at 12 right there. It's really good league, you know, and I think Ole Miss is a lot better. They moved into the rankings this week for us. You know, it's a team that has some veteran arms that you like. I mean, obviously the top four are the top four. I mean, you know, we know how good those teams are. Even A&M losing Gavin Gerhovac, that's a big blow for them. He's a big star, but they're so deep. I think they're going to be fine offensively. We know they have plenty of arms too. They're one of the more balanced teams certainly in the country. That's why they're preseason number one. Tennessee's pitching, I was not quite sold on heading into the year, and so far so good. They haven't really played competition yet, but they've dominated. I mean, you know, and Liam Doyle looks like he's made that big jump going from Ole Miss to Tennessee. He's a dude now. He's kind of like put it all together. So, but a bunch of their arms have caught my attention. It's a team that lost a lot from last year's title club, but I think reloaded very well. So, those top four are going to be really fun to watch. LSU, boy, their rotation. I mean, that's the one that could maybe rival Arkansas, with Cade Anderson and Chase Shores and Anthony Ianson. Those guys all have real stuff, and so far they've thrown enough strikes too.
What have been your big takeaways just nationally through the first 2 weeks?
Well, you know, I think most of the teams at the top have held serve. I mean, Virginia's gotten off to a slow start. they're going to be fine. They're really, really good. You know, I'll take all the Virginia stock I can get. They're going to bounce back. But yeah, I mean, it's ACC and SEC at the top of college baseball, as it has been the last couple of years. You know, I think North Carolina, Virginia, you know, Wake Forest, Clemson look like a pretty good top four in the ACC that could probably rival the top four in the SEC as the season goes along. I think you'll see Wake and Clemson climb from where they are in the rankings. I think we had them underranked, frankly, heading into the year. Those are really good, talented teams. You know, elsewhere in the country, Big 12 looks kind of frisky to me. Even though Arizona was a preseason top 25 team that fell out of the rankings after week one when they went 0-3, they bounced back and you know, they got a lot of very good mature veteran players with athleticism and power in their lineup. So, Arizona State looks improved. Cincinnati has been a surprise team so far. They're in the top 25 for the first time ever. So, you know, I think the Big 12 is definitely a distant third, they look like they're worthy of you know, kind of that spot in the pecking order. And the new look Big 10 is who's to say at this point? It's kind of jumbled, but there's plenty of interesting teams in that league too. So you got those four, you got the Sun Belt. I mean, that feels like that's the top tier, those five leagues.
Aaron, great stuff. As always, you do a great job at D1Baseball.com.
Thanks, Matt. Always good to be with you.
All right, appreciate it. Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball. When we come back, Christina Long will be on set with me, but first a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I'm going to tell you, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com, most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. Arkansas baseball beat Grambling State 14-3 last night at Baum Walker Stadium. It was a run rule. We figured that might be the case. Arkansas ended up scoring six runs in the fifth inning to take a big lead, and they traded runs in the sixth, and Razorbacks end up winning that game by 11 runs. Christina Long is here with me. Christina was there too. What did you think about baseball yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I had forgotten, you know, we've talked on the show before about how my memory is terrible, and I was reading the game notes, and I was like, oh yeah, they did not lose a non-conference game last year, right? Yep. And so it's just interesting, you know, watching it continue. This is where they need to have these tune-ups. You know, they've got this homestand before SEC starts, and Dave Van Horn has talked a lot about what they need to figure out offensively, and you know, I think there's been a lot of hand-wringing over the first couple of weeks about what the offense has been doing or not doing. And so I think, you know, this is where they're going to try to tune that up, is in these midweek games. You know, they played a lot of guys that we expect to see more on weekends. You know, he talked about Pepe and Souza and wanting to get them going more. And so it was a pretty big game for guys who have maybe been underproducing relative to expectations at the plate. And so several of them were able to kind of get a little bit of a boost. You know, Helfrich's home run, Thomas's home run, Pepe's hits, you know, he reached base in every plate appearance, I think, and he got hit once. And then, you know, Souza didn't really, Van Horn said he felt like he had a better approach, but he didn't really have anything, you know, he didn't have any stats to show for it.
He did get an RBI ground.
He did, yes. That was it. But he did say he felt like it was a better day for Souza and that they're just trying to get, you know, him and Pepe especially, kind of the mental aspect back for them.
You know, sometimes Arkansas play Grambling in these games where they've come back from Arlington. I remember 2 years ago, I think Grambling was up by like five or six runs, and Arkansas had to come back and win that. And so there have been games where, I don't know if you would say they overlooked Grambling, but they certainly didn't play their best. That was not the case yesterday. I mean, they came out and they played really well, I thought, from really the get-go. And this is what Dave Van Horn had to say about the approach that his team showed.
Just like a bunch of professionals today coming out and playing after the big emotional weekend, and you know, yesterday was a light day, a day off for the most part, and for them to come out and just bounce around, have fun, and you know, played pretty well for the most part. It was good to see.
Arkansas 14-3 over Grambling State. Really, the big news that came out yesterday was, you know, the update on Gage Wood, and the update is this: he has got what's called an impingement in his shoulder. I'll let Christina explain to you what an impingement is here in just a minute, because I know she looked this up yesterday. But an impingement in the shoulder could be back in as short as 3 weeks. It might take more, 5-6 weeks before he gets back on the mound. But, you know, based on, to me, anytime a pitcher walks off the mound with the medical staff, your mind always goes to worst case scenario. And this is not worst case scenario. This is it feels a little bit like what happened with Brady Tigert a couple of years ago, where I think his was like 8 weeks. And then obviously they had to slowly build him back up. But, you think about if Gage Wood can be back in 3 weeks, that's in the SEC play. If it's in 6 weeks, it's a little bit further into SEC play. But the point being that they've got this arm that if he can get right, a big piece of their pitching staff that they could have hopefully back up to full strength by the time the postseason begins.
Yeah, like you said, it's always scary when the training staff has to come out there. It made me think of, you did a story last year on Cody Frank and, his return from injury, and Matt Hobbs was talking about how when he had gotten hurt, they like could hear it, it was like a sound, well, and it was him.
The sound was him screaming when he threw a warm-up pitch.
And so it was just like the horrible, this was obviously not that level. No. This was more just, hey, something's off, and Van Horn had said that they try to be cautious. So that's really, it's really good news for Gage Wood. Impingement for our listeners. Matt had me read, give a quick read to this.
I knew what an impingement was.
I've never seen this word before. Never. And now I was never, I've never had much of an athletic career. I'm not that familiar with sports injuries personally. But yeah, had no idea what this was, but learned.
It's like a pitch.
Basically, yeah. It sounds like that. It is what it sounds like. But so yeah, I think this is it's as good of news as they could have gotten. And then I think they have, they're set up about as well as they could be. They have Beidelschies, who was kind of that fourth guy that they decided to go with Wood instead, and then they've got him ready. Van Horn didn't expressly confirm that he'll slide in, but he said that's the obvious choice, barring, something different or something, kind of crazy happening. So, you expect to see him. I think they feel good about him. I guess, what do you expect to see, with the depth situation and with Beidelschies kind of stepping in for the weekends, foreseeable weekends?
Well, I think Beidelschies will be their number three guy. Dave didn't want to commit to that totally yesterday. He said, I don't want to say it's 100% going to be Landon Beidelschies, but that's certainly what, that's the expectation, or the expectation is that, Beidelschies and Wood, it was between the two of them for that number three job. To face Michigan and Wood, I think he kind of got it maybe a little bit by default, the fact that he had just a little bit more rest than Beidelschies did, because he threw on a Saturday and Beidelschies threw on a Monday. But yeah, that's my expectation, is that Beidelschies is their number three. What it does is that it takes it takes Beidelschies out of the bullpen. I think they've got other pitchers in the bullpen who can handle longer relief outings if need be, but obviously it's just one less, arm that you have to use, one less quality arm. And that's what I've said the last couple of years, and I've said it a few times leading up to this season. When we talk about the depth of the pitching staff, it is a deep pitching staff, and you can tell it is because you lose a Gage Wood and you say, okay, well, here's somebody else that can fill that void. But what happens is that somewhere down the line, you have pitchers who are going to start being asked to have maybe more contribution than you thought they were going to be. And so that's what's always key when you talk about depth, is which pitchers are getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Is it the back end pitchers who are getting hurt, or is it the front end pitchers that are getting hurt? And with Arkansas last year, it was the front end guys. It was Mason Molina and his ankle. It was Brady Tigert and I think an elbow or a shoulder that he was dealing with at the end of the year. And Hunter Dietz went out and Colin Fisher went out. Those are all frontline pitchers. Those aren't the guys who are throwing on Wednesday for you. You know what I mean? And so that's always the key when it comes to depth, is how many of your frontline guys can stay healthy all year. This is, this hurts the team for a little bit with Wood being out, but I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you never want an injury, but as far as if you had to have one and you had to put it somewhere on the schedule, now's the time to have it.
Oh, for sure.
So, I do think they're set up pretty well to manage this. They said it could be a little bit of a range in terms of how long he's out, but I think the top end is maybe, 6 weeks or so, unless something, unless barring any kind of
Well, then the other question is when those say it is 6 weeks, mm-hmm. when those 6 weeks are up, how many weeks does it take mm-hmm. to get him back to where he should be
right.
at that point in the season? And those are all questions that we just don't know answers to right now. An impingement, by the way, if you still want to know, this is a definition from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. It occurs when the space between the top of the shoulder and the rotator cuff becomes smaller as the arm is raised. It causes irritation and pain.
Sounds like it hurts.
Yeah. So, Gage Wood, this is what Dave Van Horn had to say about him. We've been talking about this, but here's a little bit more from Dave about Gage.
Well, I think, kind of what I've had mentioned to me would be, maybe the quickest we'd see him back is in 3 weeks, and the longest, if everything goes good, would be 5 to 6 weeks. And I just had impingement in there. There's, the MRI didn't show any tears, any damage from what I've been told. And, now he's got to get the inflammation down in there and then build back up. And knowing Gage, it'll be shorter than longer because it's hard to outwork him.
I've heard a lot of people in the building say that he is the hardest worker in that building. And so there's one thing that you can be sure of, I think, with him, is that he's going to attack rehab as hard as he can.
Yeah, definitely. It's always difficult, when athletes go through this and, you have to, especially in the middle of a season, and you're going to come back and you're going to, like you said, your recovery timeline might be this, but then what's your timeline to actually get back into playing mm-hmm. shape and playing for him? But I think, it'll be hard for him, but I think he'll do everything that he can to get back as soon as he can.
Okay, so you touched on this, and I want to talk about it a little bit more, and it's how the hitters at the bottom of the order did yesterday. And, I know a lot of people ask, why do you play Grambling State? They're not even anywhere near the same, caliber of athlete and team as Arkansas. And I think it's a fair question, but I also think there is value in these types of games or they wouldn't get scheduled in the first place. And I think one of the values is that it's a chance for your players to build confidence. I think baseball is such a mental game that you have got to have some, you can't be playing Florida and TCU and LSU and Tennessee and all these teams back to back to back to back to back to back to back. You've got to have some games where your guys can build up confidence. And I think that's a big reason why they play this game against Grambling. Not just yesterday, they're going to play Grambling again down in North Little Rock on April 1st, as long as the weather's okay. So you look at guys yesterday. Christina mentioned Rocco Pepe. He goes 2 for 3, 4 RBI. He scores a run. This is a guy who had one base hit the entire season. Maybe that gets him going from a confidence standpoint. You look at Ryder Helfrich. I think it had been 11 at-bats before he had a hit, and he gets a big two-run home run in the fifth inning yesterday. Yesterday's numbers, 1 for 2. He scores a run, has 3 RBI, had a sac fly, is also hit by a pitch. Number 9 hole hitter is Justin Thomas. 2 for 3, a run, an RBI. It was a home run for him. He also hit a double. He walked. And so they were able to get some of these guys at the bottom of the order some confidence, I think, yesterday. And so now I think the key is, can they take that confidence that they had against Grambling State and maybe build on that when they play Charlotte, and then maybe build on that when they play Portland next weekend, and then maybe they've got some guys who just have more confidence in their swing and their approach when they step to the plate once SEC play starts against Ole Miss. I asked Dave Van Horn after the game about those players, about Pepe, about Helfrich, about Thomas, and how important a game like this is for their development, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's one reason I wanted to get Pepe back out there. And, he's a good hitter, and it's good to see him get a couple hits, get hit by a pitch. I think he drove in 4 runs or so, 3 or 4 today. And it was a big confidence day for him. He knows he can hit, and just hadn't happened yet. And they start pressing. You're at a new school. It all adds it up a little bit if you don't get off to a really good start. Souza, he's really pressing. It's one reason I played him today, just to try to, see if we could get him to feel better in the box. And I think he did a better job today. He didn't have much to show for it, but, he did drive in a run with a walk or no ground ball to second or something. But, the guys you mentioned, they're pretty good players, good hitters, and you know, sometimes you just need to get some at-bats under your belt and relax, and hopefully that happened for a couple of those guys today.
I want to tell you, we'll have Bubba Carpenter in studio with us tomorrow, talking more about Razorback baseball. Looking forward to this series against Charlotte this weekend. I tell you, two more players I wanted to say something about real quick here, Christina. One you wrote about was Logan Maxwell and the fact that he got into the field yesterday. And I was listening to Dave on the pregame radio. He said, you know, that sometimes when you're a DH, it's hard to – I don't know if – it's not hard to stay engaged in the game so much, but it's hard to just stay physically ready. And he's dealing with his hamstring. And so the thought was, if they could put him in the field, maybe it would loosen that thing up and help him at the plate. And, you know, I think that there's a chance that that might have been what occurred. He goes 2-for-4, 3 runs, an RBI. He got walked once. And there was just a comfort level, looked like there was there with him at the plate. And then defensively, on the ball or two that was hit his way, he made the plays.
Yeah, it was interesting. I would never have thought about that, you know, angle of as far as what Van Horn said about, you know, what playing in the field can do as far as, you know, your approach to the plate. He wanted to help him kind of find a little bit of a rhythm, help with the hamstring. And, it, you know, you asked Kuhio Aloy, who was at DH yesterday, about, you know, is that, you know, he doesn't have a hamstring thing, but he was like, is that something that you see when you're a DH, you know, whether it's from a mental standpoint or the physical standpoint of like, all right, you've got to go sit for a while. And he said, yeah, absolutely. It's something you have to like find a way around, and you have to, you know, people have different methods of doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I think Maxwell is somebody that they need for sure. They need him 100%, which Van Horn said he's not really 100% quite yet. He said he could kind of see him maybe going a little bit slow. But it's fine. I mean, it's not anything that's going to hold him out, it seems like. And he said it's getting there. So I think they need him at 100%.
The warmer weather is going to help the hamstring. Sure. It's going to help loosen that thing up. You mentioned Kuhio, 4-for-4 yesterday. This guy's just on a tear. 563 is what he's hitting now. And, you know, the thought coming into the season was that he was going to be a DH against left-handed hitters. He's hitting right-handers right now. And I think that's been a real eye-opener with him.
Yeah, definitely. That's something else that they need. That's something that's making it hard to keep him out of this lineup for sure. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's – Van Horn talked about this yesterday too. He was saying that he told the guys on the field afterward, you know, I'm glad that you guys are making it hard for me to write these lineups, you know, that that so many guys are showing some flashes. And, you know, this is, again, what that kind of non-conference is for, is kind of A, building confidence, and B, for the coaches to kind of see, all right, when we actually do get to SEC play, you know, who's been consistent, whose strengths are where, who, you know, matches up best with what. And so, yeah, Aloy is really making it hard for them to leave him out.
First game in a 10-game homestand for the Razorbacks. This is always, and we'll talk about this with Bubba tomorrow because I want to get his take on this too. But just, you know, my personal thought on this time of year, because you always see this, Arkansas go to Arlington first weekend, second weekend, and then they come home and they're home for a long time. And this homestand, I feel like, is where you see a lot of growth out of the team. And so it'll be very interesting to see what we think about the team, say, in 2.5 weeks versus what our thoughts are right now. I think that we're going to learn a lot about this team, a lot about what offensive lineup works best together, a lot about what defensive alignments work best. We're going to learn a lot about that, about the Razorbacks here in the next couple of weeks as they play their next 9 games at home. And the next game is going to be Friday afternoon against Charlotte. We appreciate you being with us here today. I hope we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Throughout today, obviously, we'll have a lot of coverage tonight from Arkansas, Texas, at Bud Walton Arena. And we'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. Bubba Carpenter will be here. Anthony Christensen will be here as well to talk about what we saw from Arkansas and Texas. So we hope to see you then. Have a great day, everyone.